So it's nice to... Who was I speaking with? Someone I was speaking with just the other day, making mention that we don't, aside from perhaps during Mangalartik, after Mangalartik, I mean, or before class, we sort of mention the appearance, disappearance of acharyas. But they actually merit more than that. When we have our own devotees, generally present time Prabhupada disciples who are leaving, sometimes we have remembrances of them. And yet, others, even like Rupa Goswami, they just get a mention. And it's actually fitting that there should be suitable detailed glorification of our acharyas, because ultimately that's what Krishna consciousness is about. It's about glorifying Krishna and glorifying Vaishnavas. And our Vaishnavas begin with our Guru Parampara. Srila Prabhupada talks about Lochan Das Thakur when he's translating his song, Parama Karuna Pahudvijana, which Srila Prabhupada liked to sing. And there he says that songs of Lochan Das Thakur are like those of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's a great acharya. Just a little after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, almost concurrent, but after, like Narottam. And particularly that song, Parama Karuna Pahudvijana. It actually has a padavali, a collection of different songs, many songs, songs of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and also Radha Krishna's Leela. In that song, Parama Karuna Pahudvijana, then he establishes this philosophical principle, and by glorifying Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, that actually the worshipable deities for our present day and age are Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Through them we worship Radha and Krishna, but they are the presiding deities of this age. Lord Chaitanya is himself, Radha and Krishna, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram, but he also represents the principle of Guru. So therefore they're called Guru Gauranga. Lord Nityananda is Guru, he's the original Guru. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the basic principle in which we attain perfection in this day and age, because Bhajabhajabhai Chaitanya Nitai Surida Vishwasakuri. Without worshipping Lord Chaitanya, not only can one actually not really attain Radha and Krishna, but Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he categorizes people in different ways as being non-devotees and all kinds of things. Not only just him, but also other acharyas, contemporaries of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can't go to Krishna not only just by ability. One thing is the ability of people in Kali Yuga. They don't have such a inclination for spiritual life. But also the authorized path, the authorized process is that in this day and age, one worships Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because that's the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Bhagavatam, this particular question is raised. Who is the worshipable deity of this age? How is he worshipped? So Karabhajana Muni then, yes, it's Krishna, Varnam, Pusha Krishna, Sango Pungasha Parishadam. Yes, he is Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varna, Pusha Krishna. Although he's Krishna Varna, he's in the same Varna, like we say, Chatur Varna. He's in the same category as Krishna, but Tvis A Krishna, but he's A Krishna. His complexion is not blackish, but it's golden. And Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa, through Sankirtan Yagya, he's meant to be worshipped. And then Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada always gives lengthy explanations to that verse. But it means that in this age, we worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by worshipping Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai, and by worship, how do you worship Lord Chaitanya? You have to worship him along with Lord Nityananda. Often if we go to Navadvip, we'll see temples of Gorgadadhar. Gorgadadhar is also a different type of worship, although Bhaktivinoda Thakur also worshipped Gorgadadhar, and in some of his songs he says Bhaja Gorgadadhar worship Lord Chaitanya along with Gadadhar. But that's also, it's a different type of worship, and it's not the worship that Srila Prabhupada gave to us, but rather Srila Prabhupada, everywhere he established deities of Gaur Nitai. Not only did he establish deities of Gaur Nitai, but he wanted deities of Gaur Nitai in everybody's home. Not just devotees' homes, but even in non-devotees' homes. That's why he gave Dhananjaya Prabhu this mission. He said, you can make little dolls of Gaur, deities of Gaur Nitai in a box, and you just sell them to karmis on the street, say that they're good luck dolls, and that they bring you good luck. Particularly in Lord Nityananda's association, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially merciful. In Gadadhar Pandit's association, he's more absorbed in his own ecstasy of chanting and dancing. But in Lord Nityananda's association, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in this mood of Krishna Prema Pradayate. So Parama Karuna Pahudvijana Nitaya Gaura Chandra Shabha Avatar Shara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Khanda. So he just says Bhaja Bhaja Bhaja. He says just worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. They are Parama Karuna. They are the most merciful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is already the most merciful. But even his moods vary, and he's in the most merciful mood when he's with Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda is, Lord Balaram is always very, very unique in his worship of Lord Krishna, but particularly he's overwhelmed and intoxicated with distributing Krishna prema, and particularly love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Prema, sort of another concept that was introduced after or during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And when association is like that, association affects everyone, so it also affects Lord Chaitanya. He's in that association of Lord Nityananda, then he gives Krishna Prema. So that's why for the most part, if we have Gaur Nitai in our homes, and if we have Gaur Nitai in our temples, then they are actually the means by which we can attain perfection. And actually, we don't need other deities. Not that one shouldn't have, but there's risk. You have problems. You have other deities in your home, Jagannath, Radha Krishna. What happens when you die? Who worships them? You better start worrying about it, because it's your responsibility. So even there's mention that one may have to come down from the spiritual world. You can't go and serve that Krishna if you're not taking care of this Krishna over here. They're the same. So you can't say, well, all right, now I'm going back to Godhead, you take care of yourself. With Gaur Nitai, they'll take care of themselves, and they don't take any offense. But other deities, you have to make arrangement. And who can guarantee? Children, Will they worship deities according to the proper standard, or who's next? Who will take care? But with Gornitai, there's no offense. And that's what Lochan Das Thakur recommends to us in his songs. It's all benefit, no loss. There's no risk. Don't make offense. There's no risk of offense. They'll take care of themselves. Of course, that's not how we think of deities, but still, and they give you the topmost benefit with least effort. Worshipping Radha Krishna is not easy. It's very difficult. Maybe you've noticed becoming Krishna conscious is not like falling off a... What did they say? Falling off a what?
Log.
Falling off a log. I'm out of English practice. I don't think in Hungary they fall off logs. But if we really just invest and depend on Gornitai, then they make it about as easy as it's possible. Although our misfortune is that even when it's as easy as possible, it's still difficult for us. That's what Bhagavatam says when it starts off with saying that they're manda, sumanda, manda bhagya. Very, very unfortunate. Okay, so Lochan Das Thakur ki jai. This is his Tirobhav. And here we read from Adilila 5th, which is the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. So that's suitable. Please try to please Lochan Das Thakur by reading about Lord Nityananda. Which verse is it? 112? 113. Translation. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk, incarnates himself in various forms to maintain the laws of the cosmos and alight the causes of the disturbance. Such incarnations are visible in every manvantara. In the course of the reign of each Manu, who lives for 71 times 4,320,000 years. 14 such Manus take their birth and die to yield a place for the next during one day of Brahma. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurud Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Menama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare Rama Rama Rama. In the ages and millennia of Manus, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Here the topic is Lord Nityananda. And the glories of Lord Nityananda is described by describing generally the truths or tattvas that relate to the Lord. In other words, what are his different features, expansions, how does he stand in the forms or aspects of Godhead. Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhakta Rupa in the Pancha Tattva, and that was already introduced earlier, that prayer or mantra. Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam, and Sri Chaitanya Lord Nityananda is the Svarup. Svarup means non-different than, or same form. And later on, it will be described how, actually, Lord Nityananda is in that sense no different than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada quotes, I was just listening to this lecture the other day, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gya Yata Para. The three different potencies or energies of the Lord. And then Krishna's internal potency is divided into three. And already in the fourth chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami talks about Srimati Radharani as Krishna's Ladini Shakti, or generally, as we say, Sat Chit Ananda, his Ananda Shakti. And Lord Balaram, or Lord Nityananda, is predominantly Krishna's Chit Shakti, is his potency of existence. And when we talk about Yogamaya or Subhadra Devi, then she's Krishna's potency of knowledge, of transcendental knowledge. Sat Chit Ananda, these are the personifications of those forms. All of them are Sat Chit Ananda, but the dominance of one of these potencies over the other two is what makes, for instance, Srimati Radharani is called the Ladini Shakti. Not that she's only Ladini Shakti, same way, both knowledge and potency of an existence are present in her. Similarly, the Lord Nityananda, or Lord Balaram, is the basis of existence. We exist because he exists and he manifests Krishna's potency of existence. When we're preaching to people, we talk about, you're not this body. How do you know that you're not this body? Because you can feel your existence as being separate from this body. And consciousness means that you have an awareness that you exist. When people say, I don't believe in that, then that's the time to cut off the conversation. Because if someone doesn't believe in the fact that they exist, then why should you talk to them? Because they're not there anyway. You may as well go on to someone who believes that they do exist. But everyone can feel their existence. We can feel our existence, and that's because we're conscious. That's what consciousness gives, and that is actually Krishna says like that, that this is your pratyaksha vagamam dharam. This is pratyaksha, direct perception. You can directly perceive your existence. But what is existence? Existence isn't just a word, and neither is it just a state of feeling. It's actually a tattva. It's a potency. It's an energy. It's one of Krishna's energies. We feel our existence because Krishna exists. And because we're part and parcel of Krishna, we exist. And we also experience that existence. So the ability to exist, the realms of existence, like the spiritual world and Shivaloka and the material world and lower planetary systems, they exist by the potency of Lord Nityananda Balaram. So he is that. He is existence personified, and he makes existence possible. Anyway, these are sort of, in one sense, complex things, but it's important that we at least have a awareness of them, otherwise they wouldn't be here. This is what Chaitanya Charitamrita starts off with. It has its 14 seed verses, and then more or less, Adi Lila is an expansion of those 14 seed verses, especially the first 7-8 chapters. So, by giving attention to those, then we actually glorify these personalities. And then here, very similar to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adyuttanam adharmasam tadatmanam sujanmeham paritanaya sadunam minasya chuduskitam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami juge juge. Lochandas Thakur, in his biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is it called Chaitanya Mangala? There's a whole bunch of Chaitanya Mangalas. He brings up he introduces this conversation between Narada and Lord Brahma. And they're talking about Lord Chaitanya. And I think the question is like this. Lord Narada Muni says, why? Where is Lord Chaitanya spoken about? And Lord Brahma says that Krishna speaks about Lord Chaitanya, his appearance as Lord Chaitanya in Bhagavad Gita. It's not usually the way Bhagavad Gita is explained. You don't directly see it. But he explains in this verse, paritanaya sadhanam binasa chaduskritam dharma samstapanata. These are the three features of Krishna's incarnations. They come for this. Paritanaya sadhanam binasa chaduskritam dharma samstapanata. Particularly this dharma samstapanata. This is what comes out later on, that to appear, to establish the Yuga Dharma is not primarily Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business. Yuga Dharma is always established by the Yuga Avatar, and it's a Vishnu Tattva. So in other days of Brahma, it's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who does this, but it's another incarnation of Krishna, who's blackish in complexion, and who's a expansion of Lord Narayan. He's not Swayam Bhagavan. He introduces a Nam Sankirtan, but it's a different type of Nam Sankirtan than we have the opportunity to participate in. Anyway, but when Krishna comes, and Krishna sambhavami juge juge, when Krishna comes, he comes particularly for this paritanaya shadunam. And Vinasya Chaduskritam, that anyone can do, that the material energy can do to get rid of demons. But the Lord's main purpose is to actually bestow ecstasy and his own prema bhakti upon his associates. But that's not the point. The point is, where is Lord Chaitanya in Bhagavad Gita? So Lord Brahma says, when Krishna says, sambhavami juge juge, he says, sambhavami, I appear in age after age. That's how we usually translate it. But Lord Brahma says, this is also understood that Krishna standing there in Arjuna, he says, sambhavami juge, I appeared in this age. And sambhavami juge juge, and I'm appearing in the age after this also, personally, because Krishna's personally there. Has personally appeared. Swayam Bhagavan has appeared. So not only have I appeared in this age, but I'm also coming in the next age. Now how is Krishna coming in the next age? He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then always the support for this, these truths and these principles are the Asa Varnam Shloka that's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is what Garga Muni tells Nanda Maharaj when he talks about his son, Nanda Maharaj's son. He says, your son appears in different colors. Suklo rakta tata krishna idanim krishnanam jata. He says, suklo rakta tata pita. He says, in previous ages, he appears as sukla rakta tata pita. He appears in white and red, and then he appears in yellow, and then now he's appeared in a blackish form. There's a lot of explanations on that verse. Srila Prabhupada also explains it in detail. So that was from Lochan Das Thakur also, how Lord Brahma points out Sambhavami Juge Juge, that when Krishna's talking in Bhagavad Gita, he says, yes, I'm here now, here, in this form, and in the next form I'm also coming, but then I'll come in a golden complexion. And particularly that golden complexion is golden complexion reflects Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's distinguishing feature, Krishna Prema Pradayate, is that he's giving love of God. I was stopping to think because I remember that when, this is just a short anecdote, when I was temple president of Chicago, at which time we were installing, moving temple and installing new deities, for which I ordered Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. You should know these deities I ordered for Chicago. They ended up here. And if you want to ask what Lord Ramachandra looked like when it came here, then you can ask Rancho Prabhu, because he's the one who repainted them. That's another story. But what I wanted to mention was we also were ordering large Gornitai. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami talks about Lord Nityananda's mercy on him, how one day he had a dream and Lord Nityananda appeared, and he appeared in a blackish complexion. His complexion was black. He was chanting Krishna, Krishna. So I was, is Gurucharan Padma here? No. Okay. Anyway, she was there. So I was consulting with our GBC. I said, here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that Lord Nityananda had a blackish complexion. So should we order Lord Nityananda with a blackish complexion? So we wrote to somebody in India, and then he wrote back. Then there's later the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What's that verse? Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, appear like the Krishna Nando Tamo Nudho. How does it start? That they appear like the sun and the moon. And it says, no, no, don't make them black. This is bogus. It was, it's bogus. But make him, he's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's also golden in complexion, like the sun and the moon rising together on the horizon. Why was Lord Nityananda black? Because he was chanting Krishna, Krishna, and by the influence of Krishna's holy name, he also took on briefly that blackish Krishna complexion. But Lord Nityananda wasn't blackish. You see this very beautiful picture. I think many devotees have seen. It's a standard picture of Lord Nityananda. And so when it says here that he also appears, then that means two things. One is that he appears whenever Krishna appears. Whenever Krishna appears, Lord Nityananda is always present. When Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, appears. Or, as Krishna says, Sambhavami Juge Juge, every age, then when the different avatars appear, actually they're all manifestations of him. Why all manifestations of him? Because in the very beginning, beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described how the Karna Daksha Vishnu, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, Shira Daksha Vishnu, these are just expansions of the expansions of the expansions of the expansion of Lord Nityananda, who's the original expansion. All other expansions are him. So when in the next verse, 114, it says, unable to see him, the demigods go to the ocean of the shore of milk and offer prayers to him. Ocean, the shore of milk is Shirodakshai Vishnu. Why do they refer to Lord Nityananda? Because they're one and the same. There's a difference, but also there's a oneness. And that sometimes becomes a cause of confusion. And this one, Prabhupada also gives a short purport. The denizens of heaven who live in the planetary systems beginning from Svargaloka cannot even see Lord Vishnu in Svetadvipa. Unable to reach the island, they can simply approach the beach of the Milk Ocean to offer transcendental prayers to the Lord, appealing to him on special occasions to appear as an incarnation. Officially, formally, all incarnations appear through Shirodakshai Vishnu, so they're said to be expansions of Shirodakshai Vishnu. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. The Lord, and then another purport, the Lord of Svetadvipa has immense potency for creation and destruction. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, being Baladev himself, the original form of Shankarshan, is the original form of the Lord of Svetadvipa. Text 117. When Lord Nityananda appeared, he appeared in a place called Radhadesh. It's described earlier, later. Did you already read it? And there's some brief description of, Ekachakra, which is in the area of Radhadesh. Not Radhadesh, our temple in Belgium, but would have been good for Belgium if Lord Nityananda appeared there. But, and which is very, very, very secluded place. Now devotees go there. We originally started going there when there was no devotees went there, before devotees went there, before we had a temple there. And there's a very beautiful little river over there that they call the Jamuna, and everyone greets everyone over there saying Jai Nitai. That's how. Anyone been to Ekachakra? Oh, many devotees. And there's a tree, or at least there's description of a tree, Halor, which is an incarnation of Shesha, that Lord Nityananda would enact his pastimes there. Originally, we, meaning ISKCON UK, had purchased that property, but the people next door, the only other sort of religious organization were there, became so envious that they got in the way. We have experience of that here with land problems. So then we had to get another property, which is a little further down on the bank of the Jamuna. But it's a very, very beautiful place, very secluded place. And reason I'm mentioning it, because when Lord Nityananda appeared there, Lord Nityananda appeared 13 years or 14 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he enacted many of his pastimes. And those are the same pastimes there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's described at length. I'm sure devotees have read that. And how Lord Chaitanya enacted, Lord Nityananda enacted his pastimes of Balaram. And then at a certain age, he left home on the guise of leaving home with a sannyasi. Generally, it's understood that that sannyasi was actually, or at least some people say that it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother. Although, chronologically, that doesn't necessarily work. But that's also one opinion. And then Lord Nityananda toured all over India. And finally he went once to do parikrama of Vrindavan and stayed at Vrindavan, and then he went and stayed there, returned, did parikrama again of Bharat, and then returned the second time and stayed there until finally he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had manifested his pastimes. And when Lord Chaitanya was sort of ready, then Lord Nityananda came to came to Mayapur. What did I read? Yes. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. The Lord of Swetadvip, Srila Prabhupada says, has immense potencies for creation and destruction. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, being Baladev himself, the original form of Shankarshan, is the original form of the Lord of Swetadvip. That's 117. The same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Shesha, holds the planets upon his head, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels, surpassing the sun. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. So along with existence comes the potency of strength. Because everything exists, and everything that exists has weight. So how are things that have weight maintained? So they're also maintained by Lord Nityananda. He's also responsible for that, this Dhara Shakti. And Shesha, there's Ananta Shesha. Sometimes they're called Ananta Shesh, and there's also Shesha. Shesha is generally considered to be a Shaktavesh Avatar. He's an empowered incarnation. He's the empowerment of the Lord's potency of strength. And then Anantadev is personally, directly the form of Lord Balaram. For instance, if we read about in Maharaj Chitraketu's pastime. How strong is this personality? How strong is this Shesha? He's so strong that the universes rest on each of his hoods. He has as many hoods as universes. So you can just imagine that. How big is the universe? It's practically speaking immeasurable. Here, and I'm just going to stop at this verse where it says 500 million yojanas, which means that it's 500 million times 8, so it's 4 billion miles. That's the measurement that's given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. 4 billion miles, the dimension of the universe. And there's so many planets, and there's planetary systems, and all of these things are on the head of each of, or on a head. Each universe is on a head of Shesha, but he doesn't notice it. If he noticed it, he wouldn't be strong. So generally, you have this concept in Greek, I won't say theology, because they don't believe in God, but Greek philosophy of Atlas holding up the earth. And he's having a difficult time. He's struggling with the load. So it's like, and that's just the earth. So that's just a strong man. He lifts up the earth, very strong man. But still, he struggles with the load. If you're struggling with something, you can't be God. So for Anantadev, that it's not a weight, it's not a burden, it's not even something that you notice, because if you felt a weight, then how could you be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who natasya karyam, he has nothing really to do. He doesn't have to hold it up. But just by his will, it stays up. But still, for the sake of order and structure, because the universe is very orderly and it's very structured, and the spiritual world is even more orderly and more structured. So everything has its place, and that's why every universe has its place on top of one of the heads of Ananta Shesha. So such extraordinary power, we can just try to imagine what it means to actually be the incarnation of Krishna's potency of strength. And this is large scale, this is big scale, so later on there's the examples given of a mustard seed. That the universe is as big as a mustard seed. So if it's 4 billion miles, And that 4 bhima miles compares to the size of a mustard seed on top of his head. So how huge, how enormous he is. And often people like this concept of God being large. It sort of suits their idea of God being powerful. Big people are powerful. In order to understand the fact that small people are powerful, or small people are more powerful than big people, you have to have purity of heart for that, and you have to have spiritual association. Generally, there's this concept of middle size. There's like Shiradakshaya Vishnu is atomic in size, and then you have Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Well, he's pretty big anyway. He's universal, and then you have Mahavishnu, who's bigger than universal size. So they're gigantic, and there's this term middle size. That's us. We're sort of middle size, and Krishna's middle size. God's also middle size. People like the idea of God being very, very big. Because then, okay, if he's big, then he's strong. But if he's small, how's he strong? Because he has unlimited strength. He doesn't need to be big to be strong. It's just our minds that are small that need these type of concepts in order to be able to accommodate this idea that power and size go together. But Krishna doesn't have power and size. They don't need to go together. He doesn't have to conform to anyone's concept of God. He just conforms to his own concept of God because he knows what God is, and everyone else is trying to figure out who God is. When Krishna entered into this whole Agasura pastime took place, and that pastime took place in conjunction with the Brahma Vimohana Lila, with Brahma stealing all the cowherd boys and all the calves. So the cowherd boys and calves only told about this pastime a year after it happened, because they were kidnapped for a year. And on the day that they went out to, it starts off in Bhagavatam that Krishna sounded his horn, buffalo horn, and he rounded up all of his friends. And Shukadev Goswami mentions that because generally Krishna is the one who's in bed, and he's the one who his friends wake up. So they're the ones who come and wake him up. It's not that Krishna wakes his friends up. But on this occasion, Krishna wanted to have breakfast out rather than having breakfast at home. So that's why he woke them up, and they all took their breakfast and they went out. But Lord Balaram stayed back. It must have been his birthday. I can't remember. It was. So it was his birthday. It was Balaram's birthday. So he didn't go out. And then all of this is going on, and Krishna's taking the form of the cows, and he's taking the form of the calves, and he's taking the form of the cowherd boys, and he's perfectly playing that role for the period of a year. And then at the end of the year, or towards the end of the year, when they're on Govardhan Hill, then all of a sudden, from a distance, the cowherd men are tending the cows, and the boys are still tending the calves, which means that they're still in their childhood age. They're just about to step into their boyhood age, at which time they take responsibility for the cows. So then all of a sudden, the cowherd men, the cows start to run towards the calves, and the cowherd men don't know what happens, and they're running down the steep, rocky slope of Govardhan Hill. And the cowherd men run after them, and first they're very angry, but when they see their children, they become overwhelmed with love. And Balaram's looking at this, and he realizes there's something strange about this. He says, what's happening? He says, is this some kind of mystic display? Am I being bewildered by some kind of magic? Then it says, no magic can bewilder me. So this must be Krishna. Krishna must have done something, because it's only Krishna who can actually cover Lord Balaram. So then he asks him, tell me what's going on. So then Krishna tells him what happened. So I gave that example because Lord Balaram, as we're talking, is both the existence potency of the Lord, the strength potency of the Lord. He's gigantic. At the same time, he is Shesha. He comes in his own personal form, Lord Nityananda, as Lord Balaram, as Lakshman, same personality. Krishna says somewhere, Rupa Goswami quotes in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita, he says, of all incarnations, he says, I have a special fondness for my form as Lord Ramachandra. We can extrapolate that to Lakshman being Balaram's expansion, Lord Balaram's expansion. And yes, it was only Lord Krishna. He doesn't have to be large. He's both large and he's also small. But his potencies are achitya. They're inconceivable. And his power, his strength is unlimited, but he doesn't have to be big. And he's not confined to being small. And he's both big and small and medium sized at the same time. And that's why he's God. And that's why achintya-kaluti-bhava, that one has to entertain this inconceivable potency of the Lord. Because without that, first of all, you can't be humble. And if you can't be humble, then you can't chant Hare Krishna properly. So we need to be very, very open to Krishna's own self-definition of who he is, and just accept that in a humble state of mind. This idea of us being able to understand God, when we see here Lord Balaram, he misses it for a whole year. He can't even figure out, he doesn't even notice anything. And it's only by his powers of deduction he figures out something must be going on, but he couldn't figure out what's going on. So Krishna has to tell him what actually happens. So no one compares to Krishna. And no one can fully understand Krishna. But still, our business is to serve him and to accept knowledge of him that he gives to us. And that's why our whole science of understanding God must be a descending science. Aroha Panta and Avaroha Panta. So just like you have avatar, similarly knowledge is Avaroha Panta. It also comes down. This empiric ascending process of acquiring knowledge, it's a dead end. It's as dead end, as dead as our brains are. And that's as far as it goes. And that's as far as your concept of God is. So God is great means God must be very big. And because you can't stand far enough away from him to see him, therefore no one ever sees God. That was something that one person once argued with me. I never forgot that. He says, God is so big that you can't get far away enough to see him. Therefore, no one can see God. So that's material logic. But Krishna isn't subject to these type of material logic. Naham prakasham sarvacham yoga maya samavita. So unless you have this mercy of this yoga maya, you cannot have even any inkling of Krishna. And even if you do, what to speak of, even after the mercy of Yogamaya, even if you are Yogamaya, you still can't understand Krishna. And the bottom line is that ultimately, actually, Krishna is so unlimited that even Krishna doesn't understand Krishna. Or that's how we express it, because that's not true, because Krishna does understand Krishna. But his potencies are constantly increasing, and there's this sort of dynamic between him realizing his unlimited potencies. And so the only way we express it, because our words are very limited, is we say, well, even Krishna doesn't understand who he is, but that's not possible. Krishna always knows who he is. But for us, knowing who someone is means that he has a static defined, limited understanding of himself, whereas our understanding of God God is always dynamic. He's always expanding, and he's eternally expanding. And if we go to the spiritual world with him, then also we also get to eternally expand, not in terms of our size, we always remain very little, but in terms of our relationship with him. It's also everything is also dynamic. And the integral part of the dynamic exchange is Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda Balaram. Whoever we may be, we need to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So, Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada would sing those songs, Nitai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Sushitala. And then it says, you cannot enter into, Prabhupada would say, Radha Krishna's dancing party without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So even if one wants to enter into that realm of devotional relationship, you have to get the blessings of Lord Nityananda. It's not that you just pick and choose. No, one has to have the mercy of all of the associates of the Lord. And by that, then one becomes successful in Krishna consciousness. So particularly, then, Narottam Das Thakur also says, Ore kore nitai chan karuna hoibe samsara basana. Samsara basana, if you want to get free from maya, then you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you cannot get the spiritual strength. Nayam atma bhala hinena labhya. You cannot get the spiritual strength in order to distance, not to free ourselves from maya, the spiritual strength to stay in the shelter of Lord Krishna's lotus feet without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So by reading these chapters and hearing about Lord Nityananda, we're meant to be convinced to become Lord Nityananda's servants and to take shelter of him. And then Prabhupada would say, how do you know that you've got the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Samsara basana. There will be no more maya. There will be no more material energy. As long as the three modes of material nature are still pulling on us, then we haven't taken advantage of the full grace of Lord Nityananda. It's there, but that again is what is our unfortunate condition, is that even though we get the best thing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and from Lord Nityananda, we don't take it. We haven't taken it. And we need to know how to take. And although we're takers by nature, being selfish creatures, but this type of taking, you have to be unselfish. And as long as the selfishness remains, then we actually aren't really capable and qualified of taking that mercy of Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna. Anyone would like to make any comments or questions before we move on for Kirtan?